This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to another super busting edition of Sunday Supplement. I don't know what I just said then.
Said super busting, which does make me think of Katie Price, but we will gloss over that and
Gloss over Katie Price.
I think Katie Price has been much glossed over in her entire comedy career.
I see you've done a bit of satire there.
I admire Katie Price. I won't hold anything against her, mainly because it might get static.
Now, if you're an American reader, you won't know who Katie Price is, but...
Might not. I mean, if you might have heard of Jordan, you might have heard of Katie Price, but if you want to imagine Pamela Anderson, but very media savvy and actually quite charming in a very weird way, without the acting talent, though.
She's got so much silicone, she could be a laptop.
Oh, look what you did.
I did do that.
Be a bit home in Silicon Valley among the nerds, yeah?
See, we can't talk about Silicon Valleys and glamour models.
Why not? Why not? That's exactly what, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, that's Silicon Valley. We've got the M4 corridor.
Hang on.
That's our
Phoenix,
equivalent.
Phoenix, Arizona is not Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley's in California.
Is it?
Yes.
It's not the same place. I mean, it must be, what, 10-minute drive max between all these
probably.
Cities?
Yeah. Yeah. America's not as big as people think it is.
No, it's not. It's tiny.
They've just got very slow roads.
It's all those big cars. That's the trouble. It's like big ships. You know, they take a long time to stop and start.
That is true. We want to announce our 700 pence bailout plan this week.
Oh, yeah. This is quite serious, our bailout plan. Because
we've got to vote on it first. And if you think you deserve 700 pence to bail yourself out of whatever problem you have...
Well, if you could actually solve the world economic problem, I will be happy to, you know, vote in favour of your getting the 700 pence bailout plan. However, it's a bit risky.
If you do actually have a use for 700 pence, do write to us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com and we will actually send you a cheque for 700 pence
if we think it's worth it.
Yeah, if you can justify us putting so much money back into the system.
I'm going to insist on checks and balances and on the fact that if one of your speakers gets up and starts doing partisan politics, I'm going to take that as personal affront and delay for another 5 days.
In what is essentially another partisan political manoeuvre.
I just love the Congress's haircuts.
They are good.
They are good. Amazing haircuts. There's one guy, literally, he's got slightly ginger hair, but he's got half sideburns and it does look like Lego hair.
Oh, I'd love Lego hair. I've almost got Lego hair.
You don't. You've got monk hair, except you haven't gone bald in the middle.
On that note, do tell me what newspaper you've bought. It's the Sunday Observer, isn't it? You always buy the Sunday Observer.
I like the Sunday Observer. It's the best paper this week. What's your problem? It's got Hamlet in it. Boom.
I've got Hamlet's haircut.
I don't care if you've got Hamlet's haircut. I've got Hamlet's DVD. I've got it.
Hamlet didn't have a DVD. That's
he
anachronistic.
Did have a DVD. That is why he went mental and thought that his stepdad killed people.
It was all the shiny.
That's exactly what it is. Shakespeare cut that bit out of the script, but it's implied. It's all shininess. I just love the end of Hamlet when everybody's lying dead on the stage except one guy who just basically come back from holiday and goes, "Hey, honey, I'm home," and goes into this soliloquy, which is basically along the lines of, "Oh, shit.
I bought the Sunday Times because you bullied and harassed me into doing it."
No, I advised you because all the time you always lose and you never make any effort in reading the supplements or doing anything towards this podcast. I mean, you don't bother participating or editing it. And I remember the last time we did the Sunday Times, I had an article in that Sunday Times, which was how to read the Sunday Times.
The best bit of advice from that would be don't.
Yeah, I mean, how many supplements have you got to read there?
312.
You do not have 312 supplements.
12 supplements, and I've read literally 1% of the paper. And it literally is an effort, because you have to pick it up. It's one of the heaviest things I've ever had in my hand.
You know, you are a very small man, Simon, so...
I'd get lost in an American car.
You would actually. You'd be able to live in an American car. And they don't call them cars, they call them auto trucks.
That's true. Aluminum auto trucks with their
that
coffee
run
pots.
On gas, yeah. Much like you.
Time to talk about cut out and keep then.
Yeah, what are you going to cut out and keep out of your time? So remember, Simon, one article.
Well, to be honest, there's a lot of, I reckon about half a dozen articles about gender differences. And I don't know if you know, but apparently there are some fundamental differences between men and women.
On average, when resting their chin on their knee, men will use their chin to scratch their knee, and women will use their knee to scratch their chin.
But more importantly, a woman with her chin on her knee is much more cute than a man with his beard stuck to his jeans.
I'll go with that, yeah. I can see where you're coming from.
But it's a choice between two, and it's not really a choice, because one of them is a 6-7 page spread of space art.
Space art?
Yeah. During the 60s, NASA commissioned a load of pop artists to...
Oh, I hate pop art. It's usually just, you know, a photo of someone, and they've got a girl, like a Jean-Luc Picard, to just fly over it and shit all over it and make it look arty.
Yeah.
With the splats.
I'm not a big fan of Warhol, but I like Lichtenstein. Anyway, really not the best thing to talk about on an audio-based podcast. But basically, NASA has this massive collection of really good art that they commissioned during the space race, which is really interesting, but can't really see it. So there you go. So instead, I've got an article about comedians in Afghanistan.
Really?
Yeah, about all the comedians that go over there to entertain the troops.
You know, it's entertaining the locals. That's got to be the hard gig.
Rod Gilbert is over there at the moment, or he was when the article was written. Rod's got a really good show and did very well in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh isn't special, you know. It's just that's where a festival happens for comedians.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like the people of Edinburgh are hateful, so it's very difficult to do well in Edinburgh. It's just that's where a festival is.
I see you're explaining that to the readers.
I'm explaining that to our readership, yes. Our readers live on a massive boat called our readership.
Anyway,
which is piloted by a Jean-Luc Picard girl.
Shut up. Anyway, Rod talks about how it's quite a weird gig in that you do it in the afternoon in a tent. And
I've done them.
Hang on, you haven't done this bit. And just before they go on, they have a briefing which goes, if we come under mortar attack or light fire during the gig, this is what we'll do.
Tell cock jokes.
No, he basically runs to his gig from a helicopter undercover and ducks under tanks, which I think is a little bit more impressive than me or you telling a heckler he's a twat.
Perhaps, but they haven't done some gigs in Reading that I've done.
But what I most liked about the article was this bit. Nobody mentions Jim Davidson.
Well, apart from then.
But judging by his interviews, you'd think he was the only entertainer prepared to perform for the boys in uniform. And they talk about how Jim Davidson is pretty much irrelevant to most of the army blokes over there.
How about this for a link? Jim Davidson lives in Dubai, and my cut-ass and keep is, we've made a pact with the devil to be here, but if you're a silly girl who gets into trouble, forget it. As two Britons face a 6-year sentence for indecent behaviour on a beach, Carol Cadwallader, which is that lovely, lovely lady whose name I adore, explores the dark side of Dubai.
Why do you adore her name?
Because it sounds like a bicycle being pushed down the stairs.
So... Basically, these people have gone over to Dubai and completely broken the law.
Loads of Britons are in Dubai, and the law there is really weird because basically you're not allowed to have sex on a beach.
You're not allowed to do that here.
But you don't get imprisoned for 6 years. You get an ASBO and your picture in the paper going, ah.
And probably some sort of video of it on YouTube. But is the point of the argument saying, well, it's their own stupid fault, or is it saying,
no, it's
oh,
not.
Look at the draconian
it's saying,
laws?
That's what, no, the article is quite a serious article in many ways, Simon. Thanks for belittling the plight of our fellow beach f***ers.
Doggers.
Yeah, of our fellow doggers. But basically, 230 Britons have found themselves imprisoned of offences ranging from driving under the influence to bouncing a cheque. And one guy who was caught with a couple of grams of cannabis spent 10 months inside before being pardoned 2 weeks ago.
I completely agree that Sharia law is incredibly draconian, but the point is, if you're going to choose to live in a country that has Sharia law,
yep,
you can't then be surprised that your flouting of that law is somehow...
But it's almost though Dubai is set up to flout those laws.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's like a kitten that if you reach out to tickle it under the chin, it will bite your face off.
Yeah, I suppose so, but...
A really cute kitten going... Mew, I'm really pretty and I'm down where it's hot and I've got all of these beautiful mew, mew, come near me and I'll cut you.
Is that what kittens do?
They do say that. I don't know if you've seen a kitten recently, but they're getting tattoos. It's not good.
Are they wearing hoodies?
They're not so much wearing the hoodies. It's just the back combing their fur so it looks like a hoodie. It's quite... It's not cool. You know, there are gangs of kittens now, and these bloody kittens just hang around smoking. And, you know, they wee out there, and you know what cat wee smells like. It's horrible. And you walk past them, and they're like, meow, meow, and you're just like, no, don't hurt me. And they go after your shoelaces. It's a nightmare. So that's why you shouldn't go to Dubai.
Style. I haven't.
No, you don't.
I've got no style whatsoever. But that gives me style, surely.
No, it really doesn't. It's almost like you break all the rules.
What, even the rules about breaking the rules?
You're more of a maverick than John McCain when it comes to wearing clothes.
Does that make you Sarah Palin?
It does indeed. And
you've got to say doggone and Joe Sixpack a lot. And wink at the camera.
I always wink at the camera.
That's the best thing I've ever seen in a debate, is someone winking at the camera.
It's great, isn't it? I thought she did really well in that debate.
She did well in the sense that she avoided every single question and...
Yep. Was cute.
Was cute. And it was just a debate between two politicians who had a load of prepared answers. Both of them were just as bad as each other. I stayed up till 4 o'clock watching it. That was in the morning, of course. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that would have been a rubbish boast.
Well, you know, you do have siesta and you do like to, you know, bury yourself in the sawdust in the afternoons.
I'm not a hamster.
Okay.
And I can prove it, because hamsters can't have conversations with you about hats.
Well, I have actually had many conversations with hamsters. Not so much about hats, but swimming caps, yes.
Yeah, right. Anyway, my...
Would you like a sesame seed? You like that?
I'll put it in my cheek, all right? So shut up.
Your extensive cheeks.
Now, I've got an article about hats, right? I bet you can't guess what the headline is. Headline, huh?
Okay, the headline for an article about hats.
I'll give you a bigger clue. It's about how to be like a cut above the rest. How to further yourself.
Is it top hats?
No.
Head and shoulders above the rest?
See, yours are already better than what they've come up with.
Okay, hats are lovely.
No, it's get a head, get a hat.
Nice.
How much do you reckon a fedora costs?
I don't know what a fedora is.
Indiana Jones hat. But it's not, though. Indiana Jones hat isn't a fedora, I don't think. It's sort of a fedora, specially made for him.
They range between £40 and £80. Usually some very expensive ones are £120.
A fedora, £150. Can you beat my hat story?
It's called Some Like It Hote. It's David Walliams gets dressed.
Oh, God.
He wears it well. 70% straight, David Walliams talks intimacy, cross-dressing in children's books. Basically, it's him wearing Vivian Westwood. And, well, let me put it this way. I'm going to right now, the sound might go dip out, readers, but don't worry. I'm just going to switch on my camera and show Simon the cover.
You're going to make me look at the pictures.
Yes, I am going to make you look at the pictures. Be worth it, readers, don't worry. There you go, Simon. There's his legs right there.
Oh, God.
Look at his thighs. Can you see? Can you see? He hasn't shaved his legs either, so they're quite, they're quite
hairy.
Please
turn it off.
There's him in a Vivian Westwood frock with lacing up the back. That one's a lovely one on the opposite page there. There's a very Breakfast at Tiffany's look.
Oh my goodness. Are these real pictures or have they pasted him on?
No, these are genuinely real pictures. There's him wearing Madonna's dress looking all sultry with Madonna. There's Madonna. Oh. And there's Madonna's dress.
Oh my God.
No,
that's the least attractive thing I've ever seen in my life. Please turn the camera off now.
Okay, the camera is going off.
Right, well, to be honest, you've won. Simple as that. Just literally for breaking the boundaries of an audio podcast.
What, people guessing what David Walliams might look like in a dress by how much you wheeze into the microphone.
All right, if you don't want the win, I'll have it. Fine.
No. I do think he's not doing it to be funny, which is a bit weird.
So you win the style section. There's a shock.
Boom. Chuk-a-chuk, boom. I really have turned into Palin, haven't I, if I start doing gun noises.
Time to play Article or Farcical. I don't quite know why I still put myself through this. I intend to win it this week.
You're going to win it this week. It's very obvious which one I've made up.
Okay, then let's kick off.
How to wear the trouser.
Right.
Shoplift, go naked, don't wash. The Observer Woman's Thrift Guide.
Is that about how to save money by not buying anything, nicking it, and being naked?
Pretty much. It has advice about how to survive the credit crunch by using your bondage fetish gear as designer chic.
Oh, God. Is that someone trying to be funny?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, okay.
What is the most eco-friendly loo?
A ditch?
Well, that's not what the answer is in the article. And finally, is this an article or is this a farcical, Simon? Fuck the banks.
Are they, like, asterisked out the swear word?
No, it's written as fuck the banks.
Well, it's not said as that because we're going to beep that, of course.
Yeah. Imagine what a duck would do if it'd been punched in the beak. It would call itself a fuck the banks.
Right. Okay, so my choices are... What's the trouser one about?
How to wear the trouser. That's literally the title, and it goes through the different types of trousers you can wear.
Right, okay. Right, the Eco Loo, I'm saying that is an article, because that sounds like something the Observer would talk about. Trouser, yeah, that's a style article, I'm guessing. So that's a toss-up between the naked shoplifting and fuck the banks. See, the shoplifting thing is an attempt at humour, so I'm quite tempted to say that you made that up.
I did say it was very obvious which one I'd made up, remember?
All right, I will say that the farcical this week is... Fuck the banks.
Yeah, you're right, shut up.
Yes!
I did say it was obvious.
I won because I'm the best at spotting obvious things like the laptop in front of me and the pen that I'm holding.
I seriously considered this week, I was a bit meh after last week, so I seriously considered doing one called Simon Says. Don't do what Simon says, Simon's a moron. But I thought you might pick that one out too quickly. I like the way you actually considered the fact that The Observer
had
the headline, "Fuck the banks."
It might have done. If I was the editor of The Observer this weekend, I probably would have written something similar. It'd have been like, "Fuck the banks and Brown can piss off too." There's going to be a lot of beeping in this section. It's just going to be one long beep. It's like R2-D2.
If they did turn the banks into brothels, they might actually make more money than they're doing right now.
But does that mean the people who work in the banks would then have to have sex with anyone who walked in to make a deposit?
You made a deposit joke. You're quite happy with that, aren't you?
Yes, and there's a safe sex joke there as well, I'm sure.
There is a safe sex joke. There is also...
A withdrawal joke.
What other jokes are there, Simon?
The point is, I win. We didn't get any Dear Izzy's this week, Izzy.
I know we didn't get any Dear Izzy's. Do remember that I want to solve your problems, and yes, I will tell you to fuck off, but I see that as just part of the service. So if you do have any genuine problems and you want my advice on them, please do write in. And I'll tell you to fuck off.
We've basically been inundated with hate mail.
We have a bit.
We've opened a sluice gate.
Yes, so we both picked our favourite hate mails, and we're going to read, because there was quite a lot to read. Thank you all. Some of it was amusing, some of it was actually quite nasty. I really hope, dear readers, that you were being ironic.
Dear Izzy and Simon, I must protest in the strongest possible terms. Your audio deportment has the grace of a dog squatting to do its business. If you don't rearrange yourselves more properly, I shall be forced to render your existence interminable. Cease being lackluster about my auditory canals forthwith, or face the subsequent legal challenge. And that's yours, Mr. Tom Brown.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. I particularly like your reference to dog poo. Well done. My favourite one, which was, why does Simon think he's great? Which
is wrong already.
Well, yeah, it is kind of wrong. But, you know, I thought, well, to be fair to Simon, Simon doesn't think he's great. Simon really has a very accurate portrayal of him. But this is from Samantha Forrester, who wrote in to say, dear Simon, not Izzy, I hate you. I hate you more than I've hated anything before. I would probably hate you even more in person, or if I knew anything about you. You're just wrong. Is that the sort of hate mail you wanted, you self-indulgent slimeball? With every ounce of hate, Samantha Forrester. P.S. Izzy, I'm indifferent.
Well,
which I think is slightly worse. I feel a bit left out there of the hate. I'll join in the hate.
It is true. You'd rather have a passionate response to yourself rather than just vague apathy.
No, I don't know what to say about Samantha. I mean, she's indifferent to me. I'm indifferent to her, so...
Well, she's wrong.
Oh, you are a self-indulgent slime ball.
Well, self-indulgent perhaps. A ball of slime, I think that's a bit harsh.
Well, you know, if you actually listen to your voice...
So do keep sending your hate mail in. It's really good for Simon's self-confidence. To the extent he's now talking about himself in the third person.
Simon always talks about himself in the third person. Izzy never talks about herself in the third person. So send us your hate mail to sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
I don't think they should send me hate mail anymore. That really hurt my feelings.
Just because a girl says she hates you, it's because it's a girl, that's the problem. When a man says he hates you, you're right, but it's because it's a girl, you get all upset. We all hate you, Simon. That explains so much about your life.
Let's do travel then. I've got an article in one of my four travel supplements.
Bloody hell. I've only got one travel supplement called Escape, which is quite nice.
It's kind of positive and negative all at the same time. Like escape, that's good, but it also means that the rest of your life you're trapped in this unending cycle of rejection. And
that's just you really, Simon. We're just trapped in the British Isles where it is cold. It's cold. I'm never going to be warm again. My nose is cold. It's very difficult having a cold nose because you can't put a warmer on it without looking like a clown, and then you just attract children. It's annoying.
Well, to cheer you up, you should go to New York and see... Sorry, you should go to Washington and see the Museum of Dirty Tricks. It's a museum that's all about spying.
Oh,
how cool is that?
That's pretty cool. Does it have, like, invisible ink?
Yeah, all that. And all the gadgets.
Does it have Sean Connery?
Yeah, it has fictional.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all good. It's got the DB5 from...
I haven't Bond really films. Opened, like, the Observer's Escape. Their biggest thing is village people. Confronted with poverty, many tourists find it easier to turn a blind eye. But what happens if you can't? And it's a big picture of a senior white male dancing with a load of African women. They're celebrating the completion of the water tank help fund. You know, it's like, that's not a holiday. That's not a holiday.
It's a gap
I want ice cream and I want... No, ice cream is basically a holiday. I'm happy with ice cream. That's my only condition to holidays.
So does that mean...
Yeah, you win.
I win. Yes, I win. Hurrah. I'll give you some fish food in a minute.
Fish food milkshakes. Oh, that'd be nice. Imagine if you could have hot Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Ben and Jerry's soup.
Put your nose in it.
Oh, it'd be lovely to put my nose in that and just let it. I'd look a bit like a pig, though. Money makes the world go round, around. Money.
Right, that's going to cost us money now. We're going to have to pay whoever
owns
that. No,
because I wasn't singing a tune.
Well, never stop some people.
We sang that at school. We're allowed to sing it here, surely.
Well, I'll phone Paul McCartney. He probably owns it.
If I actually sing it inside a school,
yeah.
Or I could get a load of children to sing it, and I could use that, and then the children will have to pay. And, you know, the children will always have to pay for our current spending.
Oh, yeah. See, nice link. You got round. That was good. Basically, I got an article talking about whether or not we're going to have another Great Depression. And the consensus seems to be nobody knows. Or nobody wants to say that we are going to.
My mum, who is a very clever lady, you know, she reads books and goes on Radio 4 and that sort of thing. She's had flu this week and she was very, very high on Lemsip and she was curled up in bed telling me about the original Great Depression and how this one is exactly like it in every way apart from its property, not agriculture.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this article was about. And when you're playing a confidence game, you don't want to undermine confidence. So you can't be using terms like the Great Depression. And it reminds me of that scene in The West Wing where they insist on calling it a bagel. So I think we should call the Great Depression Simon's life.
If you ask a politician when faced in prospect with either handling, you know, or dealing with or trying to solve the problem of a Great Depression or your life, I know which one they'll pick. I think they'll pick the easier one, which would be a worldwide economic meltdown rather than trying to make your life work. However, I've got When the High Street Went Out of Fashion, which is all about how clothes being slashed.
Well, literally.
No, alas not. Basically, how all the high street brands are trying to remarket themselves as discount stores. It's just basically saying, oh, everybody's running out of money. Oh dear.
Our podcast's free.
Our podcast is free.
So you can have half an hour of entertainment every week for free. Well,
exactly.
I say entertainment. So, you can have half an hour of noise.
Yeah, of Simon going, oh, help me, someone. Help me. Help me. Help me fit in with the big
to be honest, I don't think that the podcast is me issuing a cry for help. My stage show is, but not my podcast.
I think pretty much everything you do is that.
Except my cries for help.
Which are actually funny. I mean, that's the ironic nature of your, you know, when you try to be funny, it comes across as a plea for help.
Time to decide who has the superior supplements this week, and it's me. It's clearly me. The Sunday Times is by far and away the best paper of the week compared to
yours.
It's
horrible, Simon, and you know it's horrible.
It is horrible, and I'll tell you why it's horrible. It's because it actually does make your fingers inky. The only paper that does it anymore.
It actually hurts to open the supplements.
And it's also almost physically impossible to read some of them. They're still in broadsheet form, and you sat trying to read them. And I can't do that thing that, like, old people can do, which they fold up the newspaper into the exact size of the article. I don't like doing that. It puts creases where there shouldn't be creases.
What, like in your face?
Yeah. Well, there should be creases in my face.
Well, good thing there should be, because there are a lot of them. You are a very old man.
I'm not an old man.
But you shouldn't really win.
You've been really rude to me this week.
I have not been rude to you. I've been very polite, and I've said please and thank you. And I've put up with a lot of your speaking, you know, which generally hurts my ears.
I win.
I don't think you do win. I think I should win because, let's face it, of all the things we've gone through, I've pretty much won every single time like I usually do. So I win.
I reckon that my paper's better than yours simply because I bought it.
Yeah.
Which tends to be your argument every week.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't make that argument because I didn't buy your paper. Although I did tell you to buy it. Oh,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Quite difficult.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Simon, I might give it to you simply because
When
I picked up the Observer magazine, and this actually got my goat, I found that they missed out a staple.
So you're basically saying I win because your supplement has a
I'm
missing
saying
staple.
I win because I told you to buy the Sunday Times,
so even though I bought the better paper this week, you're claiming that somehow that's a victory for you.
Well, if you're going to be petty about it, Simon, you can win.
Oh, well, thank you. So,
God, you're just so smug, you know that, don't you? Just so, like, you have to win every time.
Yeah, every week.
Like,
if I don't win, I get all sulky.
Any sort of criticism, it's just pathetic.
If I don't win, I start to attack as well. I start to go, oh, you're ugly and a bit too tall and a bit too stupid.
I've had a difficult day and you're being mean.
So anyway, that's the Sunday supplement for the week. Join us next week when we'll have more papers.
Yeah, we will have different papers, and to be honest, I'll try next week, and we won't do it in the evening, so I'll be all primed and, you know, ready to do this in the morning, and Simon will still be curled up in his, you know, sawdust, all sleepy and won't know where it's coming from, and I will smack him right in the cheeks before he can get on his wheel and escape.
How am I going to escape on my wheel?
Well, exactly, this is my point, but you still go on it like you can.
So join us next week. In the meantime, please do pass on the podcast to your friends. Dig us.
Do tell other people. Spread us like the last bit of Nutella on the last bit of toast. You know, really savour us and spread us thin. I don't know what I'm talking about, Don. I need to go to bed.
Good night, Izzy. Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Watt and is used with kind permission.